God, who is this guy? Hallelujah. Boy, it's good to be here. Hallelujah. Do I sound like my tapes? Same voice?
Okay.
Hallelujah. Before we go any further, do y'all like to get blessed? You need a blessing, don't you? Sue, stand up here a minute. Let them be blessed by seeing next to Jesus. This is the best gift my Father has ever given me. This is my wife, Sue. Hallelujah. Do you want to say something to
me? Hi, we're so glad to be here, you guys.
Sue and I give people great hope everywhere we go. Because you can't be around us 5 minutes till you find out real quick. These people are as plain as dirt. If God can use them at all, there's great hope for me, and that's true. Hallelujah. I do want to extend, Pastor Dave asked me specifically to extend his love, Rosalie's love to you all. We're all like family, even though we're halfway across the country from each other. It's all one family. Amen. Pastor Tim, Leah, everyone from the prayer center, love. We love you. Pastor Jan was asking me before the service, are you going to do a series? I have no earthly idea. In the early days, the Lord would let me have notes and outlines, and I really liked the security of that because I could come and rely pretty much on my intellect. But over the years now, you know, Paul said of himself, he said, and I'm not even approaching there, I'm just as a type, he says, he had become a steward of the mysteries of God. And that's really what happens to anybody is you really begin spending time in the Word, meditating the Word, and then praying in the Holy Ghost to activate the teaching gift. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You start becoming a reservoir, a depository where the Holy Spirit begins making you a steward of the mysteries of God. And so now, whenever I go to minister anywhere, see, I don't know you. I don't know what you're facing right now. I don't know what the problems are in your life. But guess who does? So rather than me try and figure out what you need, I've learned to rely on Him and just lean on the Holy Spirit to bring up out of the reservoir what is needed for this people, this day, this hour. And so we'll let Him just have His way, if that's okay with you, and I know it is. I did begin, thank God for that. And it's not that I don't have a general idea of where He wants to go this week and what He wants to accomplish. He did give me some specific instructions. Now, I'm going to say something similar to what Pastor Jan said, but I'm going to say it a little different way. See, I'm not one of the greatest revelations that helps me in my walk with God is I do understand I'm not the quickest man on earth. I'm really not a high intellectual type person with a high IQ. I do admire people that are like that are quick and sharp. Dave is like that. Rick Renner's like that. Pastor Jan is like that. And I like it when I see them, boy, they'll start exchanging jokes and things, and they're quick and fast, and boy, I mean, just snappy, back and forth. I'm the kind of guy that I try and get involved in that. And about 3 days later, boy, I should have said that. You know, of course, that's the kind of guy I am, see. And I used to really complain to the Lord about that. I said, Lord, I want to be quick like these guys. But then He finally got it across to me that He made me like He wants me.
That's right.
And it's really, it's a help called me to do in the body, see, because some of these things are hard to understand. You know, Peter himself wrote about Paul's teachings. He said, I'm telling you. I mean, Peter walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, and Paul never had that privilege, you know. Peter wrote about Paul. He says, some of these things that our brother Paul writes, they're hard to understand. Well, some of these things are hard to understand. So what the Lord has done, see, I have to just go pray. I have to just go pray and read it again and pray and read it again and pray until the Holy Ghost, he'll take this deep, complex thing, and he'll get it down what I call about belt high. See, because if he can get it down where I can understand it, trust me, you're going to understand it. That's the good news. The bad news is, since you are going to understand these things, when you leave here, you're accountable. Now, I'm being real careful how I say that, because with my Oklahoma accent, a friend of mine, I was saying the same thing. I was going, "You're accountable, you're accountable." He called me later and he says, "Gary, why are you saying you're a cannibal, you're a cannibal?" So I'm being real careful. Accountable. Now, when you leave these meetings, you won't be leaving saying, "What did Gary mean by that?" That won't be the question. You'll be talking directly with the Holy Ghost saying, "How do I change my life now? I understand. Now what do I do to change?" See? That's what we need, is it not? Hallelujah. Father, before we dive in now, is there anything I'm forgetting? Okay. All right. You can go ahead and be opening up to Genesis chapter 15. While you're going there, by the way, it's wonderful. This is our first time to ever be at by His Word Church. What a beautiful place. This is wonderful. I mean, you've got a wonderful view of Mount Rainier and the facilities here. I've already received one revelation that I'm going to carry back to Tulsa with me, and that is coffee in the lobby. Dave, I have a revelation from Jan. We need coffee in the lobby. Well, certain things in truck drivers die hard, and the love of coffee is one of them. I still love my coffee. You know? The last church we were at, this is a wonderful facility. The last place we were, which was last month, was on the almost to the other coast of the country. And for benefit of the tape that can't see, I'm looking around this wonderful church here. And I don't know, what do we have? Several, at least a couple of hundred, maybe more than that, people. Where we were a month ago was a little church in South Carolina, where when they have 100% attendance, it's 13 people. Little bitty church, very poor town. But got a pastor and a wife who are sold out to God. And it's a little seed in an area that the devil is just really running roughshod. A lot of poverty, a lot of crime, a lot of drugs. And what's amazing to me now, that little church there is in a storefront on a city block where every building on that block is closed. Every business is closed and boarded up except for two little storefronts. One is this church where we were. And the other is the video store. Okay? And one morning, you know, we drove 1,100 miles to be there. And one morning, there were eight people there on a morning service, counting the pastor and his wife. But I felt the same pleasure of my Lord. Because I knew that we were right exactly where we were supposed to be, doing what He wanted us to be doing. I felt His pleasure right there the same way I feel His pleasure right here. It is wonderful to have no agendas. It is wonderful not to be trying to build a ministry. It's wonderful to be free and just love the Lord and give your life to Him and watch what He does with it. Have hope. Spend time with God. Humble yourselves under His mighty hand. He will exalt you in due season. It's so wonderful. Well, our launching point is this. We are probably, I'm sure, before the week is out, we're going to touch on kingdom finances. Because, see, what we're going to do, we're going to touch on every area of your life, believe it or not. The things that He wants to talk about doesn't just apply to a church. It doesn't just apply to your business. It doesn't just apply to your job. It doesn't just apply to your family. It applies to your life. Mm-hmm. And as we learn these things that we're going to be talking about this week, we probably will touch on sent from heaven. It's going to affect every area of your life because it changes us. Have you figured out yet God's not going to change? Have you got that part figured out? Hey, I'm, like I said, I'm not real quick, but he finally got it across to me. I'm not going to change Him. And he's not going to change. I also found out something else. You're not going to change the devil. No, you're not going to change him. Who else does that leave in this equation? We the ones that got to change. Well, I'll tell you right now, at least how he's using us and what he has us minister virtually, at least our starting point everywhere we go. As far as I can tell, what's number one on God's heart for our generation? He's trying to deliver his people from religion. He really is. He's trying to move his people from religion into family. If I say the words, the born-again trail, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Good. All right. I had a couple of visions on the born-again trail recently. And when I say visions, I don't mean the kind where it's an out-of-body experience. I call these teaching visions, and it's just one way that the Holy Spirit has of communicating the mind of Christ to you, you know. They just flash across your mind. They're a lot like memories in a way. How many of you have seen that old classic movie, Gone with the Wind? You know, there's scenes in there like, you know, when Rhett Butler, I'm not going to use his words, but when he says, frankly, Scarlett, I don't care anymore. Now, see, I can tell from your reaction, you remember that scene. Somebody must have told you because we don't go to, you know, movies. But anyway, you remember that scene. Even while I'm talking, you can see that flash across your spirit right now. That's the way teaching visions are. And they'll come just like that. And you'll have a teaching vision it'll come in a flash in an instant. And it may take you a six-tape series to teach it out. That's the way Sent from Heaven came. That's the same way that my personal favorite of all my tape series is The Golden Man. And again, our tapes are free. And the easiest way to access us is on the Internet is one way. Just GaryCarpenter.org, www.GaryCarpenter.org. That'll get you started. You can sign up. And then we have some, you know, you can contact the church here if you want to contact by post office box or telephone. Erin, where are you? Would you stand up, please? This is our beloved daughter, Erin. She is the director of Gary Carpenter Ministries. And Kyle, would you, both of you, stand up for a minute? This is our new son-in-law, Kyle.
Yay!
Hallelujah. I think most of you know Kyle. Kyle is working with us full-time now, and I'll be honest with you, we were getting so far behind because the tape ministry, all of our tapes are free. We service right now roughly 5,000 families. The tapes are going into 36 nations. Everything is sent for free. Postage paid, and we don't even put in a return envelope. If you're going to send to us, you're going to have to hear from God, and you're going to have to work at it. And you're going to have to get your own envelope. Buy your own stamp. Do it on purpose. Because otherwise, I don't want your money. And I certainly don't need it. Well, that's just the way the Lord is. Now, it's not wrong. Again, I tell everybody all the time, please don't imitate what we do. Other than this part, go pray. Yeah. You know, don't do what he told me to do. You go find out what he tells you to do.
Right.
That's the only thing I know that'll work.
Yep.
See? We'll get into a lot of that in more detail. But I was going to say, by the way, we have two other daughters. Angie and Amanda are still in Tulsa. Somebody has to do the work. You know, they're holding down the fort while we're here. And I say this all the time, parents, don't give up on your children. Our daughters are only 2 years apart, so they were all teenagers at the same time. And I don't know how else to say it. All three of our daughters did their best to go to hell on us. Erin, am I telling the truth? I'm telling the truth. At the same time. They're only 2 years apart, I mean. Boy, you talk about standing and believing God and right in the face of every adverse circumstance. And they'd walk out the door. I remember Sue, time after again, here's Erin. We know where she's going now. She's not going to church, I'm telling you, okay? She's going out to have a good time with her friend. And the last thing Sue would say, as Erin's going out the door, listen to the Holy Ghost, honey. We'd walk the floor and confess God's word over them and say, our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. Devil, you'll never have one of our daughters. Every one of our children will go to heaven. Not one of them will wind up in hell. Devil, I bind you in Jesus' name. The angels are loose to minister to our daughters and keep them safe. No harm will befall them. All the time the devil's putting visions through your head. Car wrecks. All kinds of stuff happening, you know, and we have to stand against that. Well, the end result, all three of our daughters are saved. All three of them are serving the Lord with us in the ministry.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And God has brought a wonderful man of God for each one of them. I know I'm a little prejudiced, but we have the three best son-in-laws on earth. God is faithful. God is faithful. He's worthy of your trust. Yeah, I never did tell you about Kyle. The ministry was growing so quick. Good Lord. The ministry was growing so quick that we were getting so far behind that, you know, you start sending out that. And we were going through tapes. I don't know. It's still growing so quick. We can maybe 1,000 tapes every 3 days. You know, I mean, it's a lot of tapes. It's a lot of things. And we don't just send, you know, we put them in nice vinyl covers and there's bubble mailers. It's quite a deal. Well, we were falling weeks and weeks behind because just the volume of it and the, you know, believing in, you know, tape recorders and all the things that go along with that, duplicators. We were like 5 to 7 weeks behind, to be honest, when Kyle came on board. And then once we mail it, it's another week or two, you know, till you get the tape. So it was horrible, really. Well, Kyle comes. He has a gift for organizing. He really has a gift for streamlining things. And I want you to know, we went from 5 to 7, largely based on, you know, giving the credit to Kyle, largely based on that. We went from 5 to 7 weeks behind to now we have a 7-day turnaround. Kyle. All right, I hear the Holy Spirit through Angie's voice saying, get on with it. So here we go. All right. Hallelujah. I started this off saying, God's really trying to deliver His people from religion. And if I was to take a survey in a church like this, most of you, like I would have, would say, well, I'm pretty well free of religion. Uh-huh. That's what I thought, too. The Holy Ghost has a way of just, He's just really intent on us believing the truth. I can't seem to get Him to leave me in any deception. Some of it I want to kind of keep because I'm comfortable there. It's what I've been comfortable with my whole life. Mm-hmm. Please let me live here. No, you're going to walk in truth. Oh, but it's really good to walk in truth. Well, see, you know, you watch CNN, especially if there's trouble in the Middle East and they're showing like around Jerusalem. They always have a phrase like this. Oh, this is the Middle East. This is where the three great religions of the world meet. And of course, by that they mean Judaism, the Muslim religion, and Christianity. And used to, I didn't think anything about that when they'd say that. But boy, anymore, the Holy Ghost just rises up in me every time I hear that. Because let me just tell you straight, Christianity is not a religion. No, it's not. It's absolutely not. God never set out to start one. He was not interested in starting any religion. We're going to look at that real clear here. God was interested in starting a family.
Amen.
And that's what Christianity is. We're not in a religion. And that's why we keep getting messed up, though. Because we keep trying to make a religion out of something that's not one. Let me ask you about your family. Every one of you belongs to a family. Every one of you is in a family. Does your family operate like a religion? Does it? If you start trying to make a religion out of your family, you're going to start drying up all the real love in it. It's going to start becoming legalistic.
Yeah.
It's going to become, there'll be no affection, there'll be no genuine love. Pretty soon everything is rules and regulations and dead as a doornail. And that's what we do to our family. Because we keep trying to make a religion out of something that is not a religion. Now let's look at this here in Genesis 15. You'll see this real, real clear, I believe. Genesis 15, we'll just start in verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not err, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now look up at me here for a minute. That'll do for now. Abram, in this passage, he's getting to be an older man now. He's approaching 100 years old. Him and Sarah has been married a long time. They never did have any children, even when they were first married and were both young and beautiful, you know. Well, now, the Bible says that God had made Abram very rich. You know, this is a wealthy man at this stage in his life, very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. When a man's approaching 100 years old, he begins thinking about the legacy he's going to leave in the earth. He begins thinking about his heir. Who I have all of this abundance. And his sort of complaint here, or his speech with the Lord, is, Lord, I appreciate your blessings. I appreciate everything you've done for me. You've been wonderful to me, but I do have one thing. I have no heir. You've made me a wealthy man. I'm beginning to think about the end of my life now at this age, and I have no heir born of my body to pass on the legacy to. So it appears, Lord, like this, I don't have any children born of my own body, so it appears that this Eleazar, who is a servant born in my house, he's been like a son to me. It appears that he's going to be my heir. You know, and this really touched God's heart. This really touched the heart of God. See, because Abram's complaint, if you will, was, God, I have no child, no heir, born of my body in the earth. And see, at that precise moment in time, God would say, Well, Abram, you and I have a similar problem. Because as of this moment, I have no heirs, no children born of my spirit upon the earth. I had one once. His name was Adam. Mm-hmm. And I appointed him and made him my heir and gave him dominion over all the works of my hands, and he was heir to all that I created. And of course, God doesn't go into this whole discourse here, but you know the story, what happened. Adam, by the way, if you have a problem with that, can you hold your place there? Look over at Luke chapter 3 for just a minute. I know this is real simplistic, but I can hear it in my spirit. Someone needs to see this. I needed to see it when God was teaching it to me, so that's okay. Now, if I really wanted to extend the service and put everyone to sleep, we'd start reading all of these begats here. Luke chapter 3, and it starts in verse 23. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And you know what happens here. It goes all the way back through the generations, down through Joseph's line. Who was the son of? Who was the son of? Like I say, I could put everyone to sleep here if we majored on this. But I want you to see verse 38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Mm-hmm. When God formed Adam's body out of the dust of the earth, and of course the way the Holy Spirit revealed it to us so we could understand it, it's like God picked up this corpse, if you will, this body that he had formed. And it says God breathed into his nostrils. the breath of life. Of course, we know God does not breathe air. God is not dependent on His own creation. So what He's trying to tell us is that the life that was imparted into Adam came from the inside of God. See, Adam was born of God's breath. Adam was born of God's Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's what made him God's son.
Right.
Got that?
Amen.
And you know what it says? God gave him dominion over all the works of his hands. Mm-hmm. By the way, woman came from Adam. Woman is the man with the womb. That's what that is. Now, get it this way, see. Women, all this week we're going to be talking about sonship and being an heir. Just because you're in a female body, that makes you no less an heir of God than any male.
Amen.
Now, let me prove that to you. How many of you know the church is called the Bride of Christ? Men, how many men in here are born again? Okay, we're the bride. Now, this is going to be hard on you, but we're the bride. He's Adam. We're his bride. He's the last Adam. Men, hairy legs and all, we're Eve. Well, we're part of the bride, are we not? That's why the Bible says in Christ Jesus there is no male nor female. So you women need to understand, you are just as much an heir, as we talk about these things this week, as any male in here, okay? Because where there is no difference. All right. Now, so God had a son. Plainly says there in Luke 3. Tell God I'm hurrying. I'm hurrying. God had a son whom he made heir over all the works of his hands. Amen? Now, y'all know what happened. Adam, through violating God's word, something happened in that nature that originally proceeded out of God the Father. Sin entered, and then death by sin. Something in Adam's nature changed. And at his core, he was no longer God's son, not in the same way. So now God is in the... That's why this complaint of Abram so touched God's heart. He's going, Abram, I see where you're coming from. You'd like to have children. You'd like to have heirs born of your body in the earth. Abram, I've always wanted sons, heirs, children born of my Spirit in the earth. Abram, how about you and I cut a covenant? You and I will cut a covenant together. And Abram, the end result of this covenant, it's going to produce a son. His name will be Isaac, who will be an heir born of your body in the earth. But eventually, Abram, this same covenant will produce a son for me. His name will be Jesus. He will be born of my Spirit and my heir upon the earth. Oh, and Abram, it goes even further than that, because in Isaac, your seed will be called. So through your son, you're going to multiply and have so many children that you couldn't number them. It'll be like the stars of heaven. Mm-hmm. But Abram, through my son Jesus, I'm going to have so many children born of my Spirit that they cannot be numbered for the multitude either.
Hallelujah.
Now see, if when you get to thinking about Abraham being a wealthy man, which he was, very rich in cattle. When the Bible says somebody's very rich, trust me, they're very rich. How many of you have 318 male servants? Which is how many he took to war to rescue his nephew, Lot.
Right.
Just the male servants in your employ. How many of you have 318 employees? Let me see. In your house, just your household employees. For benefit of the tape, there's no hands going up. This is a very rich... When a rich man starts looking for an heir, and you think you might be one, that might start getting you a little bit excited. But see, if you think Abram was rich, God is looking for heirs.
Right.
I start, wait a minute. You mean, see, I told you I'm a simple man. I'm reading through this myself, and I'm going, Sue, come here. No, don't come here. But it's like I was at home going, I don't think either one, neither Abram nor God, I don't think either one of these individuals was interested in starting a religion. I've read this how many times? Nowhere does Abram say, I want to start a church, I want to start a denomination, I want to do this. I said, both of these individuals are interested in starting families. I started getting a clue. I told you it takes a Holy Ghost a while. A friend of ours, she'll say to me, Gary, ring, ring, clue phone. Get a clue. I said, not only are both of these individuals interested in starting a family, they're looking for heirs. Yep. Sue, God's looking for heirs, and I think He picked us.
Amen.
Oh, my God. I start getting excited. Well, isn't that what Abram had on his heart?
Right.
What's God got on His heart?
Yep.
He's looking for children that can be heirs. Some New Testament verses ought to start be flooding into your mind right now. Jesus said, all things that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said, I will send the Comforter unto you, and He shall take of mine and show it unto you. Now why? Because the Bible says we had been made joint heirs with Him. I started going through the New Testament. I had to show you this from the Old to launch this. To get our minds to understand, you're not even in a religion. God nor Abram never had in mind starting a religion. So God, after He's finally got it across to me, I'm not even in one. Quit acting like I'm in one. Quit listening to people trying to put me back in one. I finally got to understand. He started sending me through the New Testament. And He says, you don't have it yet. You don't even understand. You don't understand my word. Do you understand every verse in the context of a family? Because that's what you're in.
Yes.
And I thought, really, at the time, this hasn't been that long ago, I'm ashamed to say. Had you asked me right before all this, Gary, you pretty free of religion? Yeah, I am. That's what I'd have said. Uh-huh. Found out I wasn't so free as I thought I was. He's just been blindsiding all kinds of things, opening up my understanding. Because you're going to either function as one of God's kids on the earth, born of His Spirit, anointed by the Holy Ghost, or you're going to spend your life going deeper and deeper into powerless religion that has forms of godliness. But trust me, there is no power there. So what do y'all think? You think we ought to learn a little bit more about our Father?
Yes.
I asked you earlier, I said, if I said the words born again trail, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Most of you raised your hands. You thought I forgot about that vision. I told you I saw two visions here recently about that. Dave's been taking us down the born again trail for 4 or 5 years now. And one day while I was in prayer, and this was pretty recent, I had a little mini vision. And I saw the end of the born-again trail. You know, trails lead somewhere, you know.
That's right.
Everywhere we've been driving. Yesterday, after the reception, I drove Sue up to the Mount Rainier National Park. And everywhere that we drive, there's a, you know, such and such trailheads. Mm-hmm. And I know those trails lead somewhere. Well, the born-again trail leads somewhere. I saw a vision. You know where it ends? Daddy's house. You know what? That sounds so simple. And it is. But that is exactly the revelation. He's trying to get us. See, you know, Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a room for you. I know it says mansion in your King James, but it just means room. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. But see, that place He prepared for us is a room in our Father's house. Because we have been made sons. You know, when you grew up in your family, did you have a room in Daddy's house? And why did you have that? Well, now you may have to share it with two or three brothers. Brothers and sisters. What I'm trying to say is you had a place because you were a child of the family. That's really what he's talking about there when he says, I want to go prepare a place for you. Because you're going to become my brethren, born of the same spirit that I'm born of. And you're going to have a room, a place to occupy in my Father's house. And it's the standing of a son. And that makes no difference whether or not you're male or female in this room. You're going to move in there, and you're going to have the standing of one of God's children. I like it when Dave says it like this. God's trying to take us from God, G-A-W-D, God, to Father. And that's really the end of the born-again trail. I had one other little vision. And on that same line, now, I'm just going to touch on this. If you like this, come back, because we're just going to barely be able to touch it. See, Sue and I have been pretty free in the realms of, I don't know how else to put this, in the realms of finances for a long time. See, I finally gave up worry. I never was any good at it. You know, the Bible says, cast all of your care upon Him. It took a long time to get to where we could do that. Really, the only way I could finally do that is I finally saw how bad I was at trying to handle the care. It was killing me. I don't know how you're doing with it. But I finally decided that if the devil come with another care package, has he ever come to your front door with a care package? Now, not the good kind of care package. We're talking about the bad kind. See? When he comes now, it's like a salesman. He's trying to come in and deliver this care to you. I have to tell him, I say, oh, I see that you're, I see what you have there. I'm sorry, I'm not authorized to receive that. I used to be in charge of care, but the CEO of this operation demoted me, and I can no longer allowed to receive them. I said, if you'll hang on just a minute, I can probably connect you through. Let me get through to the Lord Jesus Christ, because now He is in charge of all care.
Amen.
If you'll hold just a moment, I'll put you in touch with Him. Of course, about then the devil's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, regarding our finances, I mean, that makes a cute story, but regarding our finances, we finally were able to do that. And it took a long time to get that way. See? We'll touch on that during the week here. But I'll tell you, a big part of the revelation on getting there is going from religion and all giving up all the formulas and learning to know your Father and learning who you are. I'll say it this way. We've got to know who we are, where we're from, and why we're here. Did you know that in... This is not rocket science. None of this has been, has it? Did you know in one chapter alone that talks a lot about finances? Just Matthew chapter 6. You can count them up later after the service. In one chapter, Jesus uses the word Father 12 times. 12 times. In one chapter, your Heavenly Father this and your Heavenly Father that. When someone uses the word Father 12 times in that short of a chapter, do you reckon he's trying to get something across to you?
Yes.
Isn't he trying to, you know, I find that to be more than coincidence.
Yes.
And he says things in there like this. Now, again, I'm just going to touch on this, and I'm trying to, you know, stay with the situation here. That one where he says, why don't you, you know, he says, why take your thought? And see, when I read that, I just like everybody else in America. Every decision I used to make was pretty well, years ago, pretty well money-based. Men, head of the house, we feel some responsibility, you know. Well, how am I going to feed my kids? Where are we going to live? How am I going to educate my children? What kind of car are we going to drive? Where should I, what state should I live in? What company should I work for? And everything was pretty well revolved around those kind of decisions. And I'm not saying that's all evil or anything. That's just the way my life was. Pretty much every decision would boil down to money one way or the other. But Jesus starts talking in there, and see, it'll never make sense in the light of religion. It only makes sense in the light of a family. Now watch this. I'll show you what I mean. He says, why don't you be like the birds? Think about the birds. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Then he asks a really good question. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now here's the way the Holy Ghost said that to me. Same thing. It doesn't change the meaning of it one little bit. Y'all do know God feeds the birds, right? Here's the way the Holy Ghost said it. Yeah, he'll feed the birds. Always has. And they're his pets. You're his child. Every time you worry, what you're saying is God will feed his pets, but he won't feed you. Now see, put it in the light of a family. How many of y'all, when you was little kids, 5, 6 years old, laid awake at night, wondering whether or not you'd get to eat tomorrow? Oh, will I get to eat tomorrow? I know Mom and Dad fed me today. But oh, will I get to eat tomorrow? Now, I'm not talking about later on when you develop the worry. I'm talking about a little child. Go to sleep at night, you didn't think about that at all. You might have thought about what you wanted to eat tomorrow. But you didn't worry about whether you'd get to eat. You knew you'd get to eat. That was not part of your job responsibility as a child. It's sure a shame that we let it become part of our responsibility now. Because Jesus said if you want to be great in the kingdom, you got to remain as a child. Even as our understanding grows and he wants us to mature, when it comes to responsibility like that, no. My daddy feeds his pets. He'll feed me. I don't even need to worry about that anymore. Let me put you through to the care department. Now this week we're going to be touching on some things. I just wanted you to see this. Can you see plainly that neither Abraham nor God had in any way, did either one of them have on their mind starting a religion? Can you see that? Amen. This covenant was about family, producing children, and not just children, but children who could be heirs. Boy, I'm telling you what, we're in for some exciting things this week. It's simple things. But I'll tell you what, once you get free, once your mind crosses the line and you really begin to understand a little bit about who you are, how much you're really loved, how secure you are in your daddy's arms, you're not much subject any longer to every wind of doctrine that comes down the road. Okay, those of you that... This is my first closing. Those of you on my mailing list, what does that mean? Absolutely nothing at all. You're used to that? Okay. Well, we get that from Paul. Jane and I are just trying to be scriptural. Because you look in the book of Philippians, and two different times he says, finally, my brother. So, Paul closes twice in the book of Philippians. So. Let me begin my closing with this. Hallelujah, Father. See, that's why Jesus so emphatically said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, if you want to enter God's kingdom, you can't join it. You can't go to school to get in it. You can't even change your life and get in it. There's only one way into this kingdom. You've got to be born into it. See, because the kingdom of God is really a family. Let me ask you about your family. How'd you get in it? There's only two ways to become a member of a family that I know of. You're either literally born into it, or you can be adopted into it. And did you know God did both of those things for us? That spirit of adoption, he sent the spirit of his son into our heart crying, Abba, Father, and we have been born again, born of his spirit by the word of God. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up, there's a lot of good people going to churches that have never had that born again experience. You don't enter God's family just like a stranger cannot come up and knock on your door and ask, really, to join your family. You might be nice to them and be hospitable to them, maybe feed them, but eventually they're going to have to go on their way because they're not part of the family.
That's right.
They're either born into it or not. Isn't that right?
Yep.
or adopted into it.
Yep.
Now, you can join a church, you can shake the pastor's hand, you can try and become a good person, and none of those things will get you born of God's Spirit. There's only one way to join God, to really be in God's family. You must be born of His Spirit. How do I do that? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but you would have eternal life." I'd like everyone to just bow your head for just a moment. Now, if there's, I know that I just got to ask you this simple question. You yourself, was there a day where you said, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I'm lost. I need to be born of Your Spirit. I've heard the message, Jesus, how You come and You paid the price for my sin. I believe, Lord, that You did that. That You died in my place. And I believe God raised You from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. Cause me to be born of God's Spirit." If you've never had an experience like that, this is your day. If there's anyone in this room that you don't know, that you know, that you know for sure, that you're a child of God, would you please raise your hand? Anyone at all? Hallelujah. Pastor, you've done a good job. Hallelujah. All right. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, you can look. You can raise up your eyes and look at me. Never take for granted that the person seated next to you is born of God. A lot of pastors will get born again this week in America. There's a lot of people in pulpits not saved. Okay? Don't ever assume the person sitting next to you is born again. Talk to them about Jesus. Give them the opportunity. You just never know.